Okay, for the purpose of the webcast, my name is Barry Adams, and it is Wednesday, February the 26th, 2020, and this is the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. And so today I'm talking about a topic, of course, that I've talked a lot about, and you guys are, for those who have listened to me, maybe you say, oh, not again, but about a childlike heart. But I'm actually sharing something of that, an aspect of that, that I haven't really unpacked before on a webcast. So this may be a little just disjointed, so please forgive me if it is. One of the things when I think about this revelation of the Father's love, and of course when we talk about encountering the love of God, this is something that you can't prepackage it. You can't. The older I get, I feel like I'm trying to describe the indescribable, and I just thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit that actually makes real to us at a level that is beyond words, because oftentimes, and most times, if not all times, words fail. And so today I do want to try again to put into words some things that have been stirring up in my heart about this whole idea of this transformation of us changing and becoming like little children again, as Jesus told us to do or encouraged us to do in Matthew chapter 18. But it's interesting. I recently went to Finland and in January with my friend Pekka, and I did a growing in sonship event, and of course I was there in the spring, and I had another event similar. But this time I felt like I really wanted to come and dedicate an entire 4 days together on unpacking what does it actually mean to have this transformation and become little again in our hearts. You know, of course, big bodies on the outside, but in our hearts being connected. And I will honestly say it's still, like, when I went there in January, it was like, again, I had the same feeling of trying to describe the indescribable and asking the Holy Spirit to help bring form to something that we cannot intellectually grasp. Oftentimes when we try to unpack what Jesus talked about in Matthew 18, 1-5, about the greatest in the kingdom is a child and those with a childlike heart. And but the Lord was very gracious, and it was like at the end of our time together, it was like people were just saying, they were talking to me, and I heard email testimonies afterwards saying, like, I don't know what happened. I can't even describe what happened. It was like something was very profoundly changed in me, but I don't have words to put to it. And so it's that kind of thing that I'm hoping that the Lord will be able to help me today to be able to share. And of course the title of my message is How to Reconnect with the Little You. And so that's again what my prayer is, that we would be able to reconnect with the little you. Or as James Jordan said, all a grown man is a little boy who ate his cereal and got big. And of course, it's the same thing with a woman, that there inside each and every one of us is this, the very core of who we are is this little boy or little girl. And, you know, when I think about the, not only the Father's love message, but when, you know, I feel that when I share this message, I don't come as a theologian, you know, a Father Heart theologian coming and sharing how the aspects or the benefits of transforming, changing and becoming little again in our hearts. I actually come at this as a little boy. Like when Jack Winter used to describe himself, you know, often he would say, I'm just a little boy with a big dad. And there's something I felt when I received, you know, from Jack, and I don't know how it all works, but I feel like there was a substance of that, of what Jack carried, about just being a little boy with a big dad that really, really took with me. It really seeded in me. And so when I'm even sharing with you today, I'm not coming with this big theological grid. If anything, I'm just coming with it like I'm a little, you know, Jack Winter used to say, we're 3-year-olds teaching 2-year-olds. And I really feel that way. So, you know, hopefully the Lord will help me with this. But when I think of this encouragement, really the baseline of the kingdom of being having a childlike heart. And when I, oftentimes what I observed sometimes when I share about it, not in these circles, but in the kind of the bigger Christianity, is that it's incredibly simple. It is so simple. I mean, and I've said this before, that if the gospel is too complicated for a little child to grasp, then it's not the gospel, because it's too complicated, and because the kingdom belongs to little children, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. So oftentimes when we share this revelation about the love of the Father coming and pouring his love into the very core of our hearts, it isn't an intellectually stimulating message. It doesn't take our adult mindset and go, aha, this really is deep. This seems to be very profound. One of the things that, and I shared this last week when I talked about learning to boast in our weaknesses, one of the things that is really a hallmark of this revelation of walking in the Father's love, and Mark's talked about it many times, I've talked about it, is that to walk in the love of God, we need to learn to be comfortable with our weakness. To really embrace our weakness, because it's when, you know, in our weakness where the love of God pours in. So it isn't this message of a childlike heart. You know, little kids are just naturally weak. The younger they are, the weaker they are as well. And so it's received in a place of weakness. And to be able to actually have an ear to hear what it would actually mean for you and I to change and become like little children again, we would have to come to terms with our own complete and utter dependence on God and our helplessness on him. That we, you know, as Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, him being the vine and us being the branches, that we can do nothing. And again, a lot of times people do not want to go there. They do not want to be dependent. They actually think that independence is maturity. And it may be in the broken world system that we live in, but in the kingdom of God, complete dependence is the sign of maturity. In Romans 8:14, Paul writes, those that are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. And so one of the signs of sonship is being so dismantled in our very being that we have nothing in ourselves that wants to lead, that we have this posture of submission and a heart attitude where we are waiting to be led by the Spirit of God. And that is a sign of sonship. That is a sign of maturity. That is a sign of growing in this revelation that you and I are sons and daughters to God. But we have to come to terms with our weakness and our helplessness and our dependence. You know, oftentimes I believe this revelation of the childlike heart doesn't seem to be theologically important. It's like there are so many other things that we can unpack that why would we even want to talk about learning to become little again when there's all the kingdom. And what I like to, you know, describe it as is that there's a lot of shiny objects in the kingdom. You know, we can get distracted by many, many things that are amazing things. But of course, we know that it is so important that, you know, for us, like, you know, the prophecy is fantastic. Signs and wonders is amazing. You know, revelation in the depths of God is amazing. But it all rests on the foundation of the Father's love. And all those things without love mean nothing. It's very clear in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, Paul talks about this, that if we don't have love, we're wasting our time. But if we think of this revelation of transformation where we can turn and actually be little children with a really big dad, it's not theologically stimulating to us in our natural mind. We might dismiss it as being foolish and simple. And, you know, if we are in a place where we want to control our life And we want to be that independent, self-sufficient son of God where we're doing everything that we, you know, God, we know God's ways, so we don't need his help, that kind of thing. And I know I'm preaching to the choir on the webcast, but I'm just saying these are some of the struggles that I have bumped into where people go, well, you know what? You know, or they might think it's so simplistic. They'll say, well, I learned about this stuff when I was in Sunday school. You know, God loves me. He's my father. What else you got, right? So then they actually think they have something that they might not have because it's so very simple. And if people want power and position, learning to become little again is not the place to get it, that's for sure. And it doesn't reinforce our pride or our self-sufficiency. And sometimes when we talk about this whole idea of this transformation that is available for each one of us, is that we're afraid to go there because it brings back memories of pain and at a time in our life when we weren't safe. And, you know, when I remember just, you know, recently I was asking the Lord about how do I minister this message of helping people see that they can actually be little again, that they can, you know, transform and change and stay little and experience the awe and wonder of a really big father who is looking after all the details. And one of the things this is in my heart, I felt like the Lord said, he said, help them remember. Help them remember the little of them. Help them remember the little boy or the little girl who just needed to be loved. And you see, I think because when we were little kids, all of us, we were vulnerable, we were trusting, we had wide open hearts, we were weak, we could get hurt easily, and oftentimes we did. And you know, sometimes, hopefully most of the time, it wasn't intentionally by our parents or by a school system, by bullies or by, you know, a broken world system. But I don't know if anybody's ever gone through childhood unscathed, that there is some wounding that we've experienced. And so oftentimes when we grow up, we just want to put as much distance as possible between the big us and the little us. So we just want to, you know, maybe we quote Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, I put away childish things. Now he said childish things. He didn't say childlike things. But, you know, we think, okay, I am going to put as much distance between me and the little me because it was just too painful. And now I want to grow up as quickly as possible. I want to protect myself. I want to be strong so no one will ever hurt me again. But yet many of the struggles that you and I experience as adults is rooted in childhood pain. And much of what we do to manage life as adults is to try to cope and compensate for the wounding that we experienced when we were little. And, you know, oftentimes what that does is if we have these unmet needs, if we have this wounding in our heart from when we were small, we spend our life trying to compensate and cope with it and look for counterfeit forms of love and false comforts. You know, when we hope that, you know, somehow we'll find something that will fill the empty hole in our in our lives. Like for me, it was achievement, right? My own father he struggled with anger. He was an alcoholic. I only got his attention. He noticed me when I achieved. So for me, even as I became an adult, the coping mechanism that I used that was rooted in a little 2-year-old who was hurt and he felt like the only way he could get his dad's attention was by working harder and trying and achieving was achievement. So I became very, you know, as successful as I could in sports, in school, and in a newspaper career, and even going into a full-time pastoral ministry. The drive that I had was rooted in childhood pain and childhood wounding. Other people maybe look to some kind of addictions, or maybe it's searching for God in relationships where the relationship continually disappoints you. Or some people might even look that coping mechanism in religious striving. You know, if I read the Bible enough, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I do enough, that somehow I will find peace and rest. But the truth of the matter is, whether you're 2 years of age or you're 92 years of age, the only thing that will ever satisfy the longing in our hearts is the love of a father. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross. And the only way that we can receive the Father's love in a greater measure, in the way that He wants us to experience it, is to posture our heart as His little child. You see, I really believe that if when we receive a revelation of Jesus as our bridegroom, then the way that we relate to Him as a bridegroom is as His bride. If the Holy Spirit comes to us and He brings a revelation of being a teacher to us, then we are His student. And so this is the dynamic of the relationship in which we receive a greater insight of His nature. Well, there is only one way for you and I to experience a revelation of the fathering of God, and that as a little child. And you know we have grown children ourselves, and we have little grandchildren now. And it's interesting how the affection and the ability to be beheld and to carried and kissed and everything else changes as the child grows up. And when our kids were little, of course they were love sponges, and you know I could carry them and play with them and everything else. They get older, and we still have an amazing relationship, but their openness to receive love in a very public display of affection completely changes as they begin to get older. And I really believe that there is a place in our relationship with God where He wants us to remain very tender. He wants us to remain very, very, very childlike in the way that we relate to Him and to receive His love. In 1 John 3:1, John writes, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." You see, when God sees you, He's the Ancient of Days, and He doesn't measure maturity and like we would. He's been around forever. He has loved you and I with an everlasting love. So when you look in the mirror and you might see a 60-year-old, when God looks in the mirror, I truly believe He sees beyond the veneer of the outer shell of you and I, and He sees into the heart, and He goes right to the very core of that heart. And I just believe that if we were able to ask the Holy Spirit to really open the eyes of our hearts so that we could actually see the capacity that we have for love, the capacity that we have for trust that is rooted in that little boy or little girl inside, then we can see that it's not like we have to go back in time and be childish or immature in the ways we understand that. But in the grown-up us, in the adult us, I truly believe there is a place that's less traveled oftentimes, but where we can return to that place of simplicity, of love, of healing of all the broken parts that we have in our heart. You see, an adult orphan heart is simply not built to receive an ongoing outpouring of the Father's love. An adult orphan heart is too big, it's too independent, it's too self-sufficient, it hides its weaknesses and faults, it tries to pretend it's something that it's not, it thinks it has to earn and deserve love, it struggles to believe it has been damaged and cynical and broken. And so when the Father pours His love, I truly believe He doesn't pour it on the big you, the adult you, the competent you, the self-sufficient you. I truly believe that the Father pours His love into the little you, in the little me. And the more that you and I are able to reconnect with the little us inside of us, knowing that we are just little and that we were created to be loved and that the Father wants to pour His love into our hearts, the more I believe we will have the grace of God to actually receive it. See, only the heart of a little child is positioned to receive love. A little child knows they are needy, they're helpless, they're vulnerable. A little child has a tender heart, not damaged yet by the broken world system. A little child is trusting, believing, and open to all the love it can receive. I've mentioned many times we have Our youngest grandchild is our grandson is Levi, and he's 1 year of age, and he is the most amazing love sponge on planet Earth. He is like a love magnet. Not only is he able to receive love, but anybody who is around him cannot help but love him and receive love back from him. And it's just this beautiful simplicity. He didn't go to love school. No one taught him how to love. This was woven into his DNA. And that same love DNA was woven into your heart and in my heart. And you see, one of the things that I've realized and I continue to think about with Jack Winter, when I used to watch Jack, you know, and I only knew him for a few years, so privileged for Ann and I had to get to know him. But when he would minister to people, oftentimes before he would minister, he would ask them one question and he would say, can you be a little boy or little girl that needs to be loved? And you see, I used to watch Jack do that, but now as I'm, you know, continuing to grow in this revelation myself, I'm going, wow, what I see what Jack was doing is he was trying to, not in a soulish way, not in a way of trying to, you know, control the conversation, but he was just hoping and that the Holy Spirit would bring a connection between the little you and the big you, so that you would know the big you is saying, you know what, I'm doing my best, I'm coping, I'm managing life, I'm doing the best I can, where the little you is still broken and needs to be loved and needs to be comforted, needs to be carried, it needs to be all these things. And it's like when Jack would say, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? He asked me that question. And it, when he asked me that question, it was like I what happened to me personally in my own journey home is I had a very, very painful memory of me and my dad. And that memory represented a lifetime of wounding. And it was like a domino effect of all other memories that came to mind about I had spent my entire life looking for love in all the wrong places. And it wasn't like Jack said to do anything, or it was just like in a moment I just felt the wounding of a little boy who just wanted a dad. And I was overwhelmed with emotion. And in that moment, when Jack said, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? I became a little boy. In my heart, even though I had a 36-year-old man on the outside, on the inside, I went right down to a 5-year little boy who was brokenhearted and who just needed a dad. See, Jack always wanted to reconnect people with the little them when he ministered. And I really believe it's because he knew that the little you inside of you knows they need to be loved. The big you has compensated. He or she has done what you can, and we do. God has given us an amazing ability to cope with life and to manage with pain. But I really believe that a childlike heart is the baseline for receiving the kingdom. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, this is a very familiar passage that we've talked about many times. It says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the little children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. You know, I really believe that this was not something that was, I think Jesus was being very, very literal. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said, that the kingdom belonged to little babies. And then if his disciples didn't have a conversion themselves and see that they would not even enter into the kingdom, because the kingdom belongs to babies and to toddlers. Could you imagine if you think of heaven and you think of the power structures of heaven, could you imagine if the board of directors of heaven is a bunch of 2-year-olds around a boardroom table? I don't know how it would look, but Jesus was being very, very clear that the kingdom belongs to little kids. The kingdom is a baseline. The baseline of the kingdom is definitely a childlike heart. A childlike heart is the baseline for even kingdom revelation. In Matthew 11, verse 25 and 26, again, it's talking, Jesus is praying to his dad. It says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. Think about this for a second. If the baseline for all revelation in the kingdom is a childlike heart, and when Jesus said little children, the Greek word there was untaught, unskilled babies. So Not my words, the words of Jesus. If I think about what Jesus said, and if all revelation comes through a baseline of a childlike heart, then think about the kingdom. Think about how the kingdom operates. What do we think the kingdom is? If it's not received through a little untaught, unskilled babies, then is it the kingdom, or is it maybe a manufactured, good intention thing that we think is the kingdom, but maybe it isn't? A kingdom, I really believe that there is a way, and I'm praying even in this webcast that the Father would just, by His Holy Spirit, would help us all be able to see in a greater measure than we've ever seen before, that there is a way that you and I can change and become little again. And it's interesting when I was thinking about this, and this whole idea of a childlike heart, I just think about, we cannot go to an adult mental ascent to try to grasp this. If we try to receive this message of a childlike heart with an adult intellect, we will miss it. Because the revelation is not released to adults. The revelation is released to little babies. Unless we have this transformation, we will be trying to make a mental ascent. I think of in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to one of Israel's leaders, Nicodemus. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to him in John 3:3, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And then Nicodemus responded, "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Now here is Israel's leader. He's thinking like an adult. He's thinking like a theologian. And he's just going, okay, how does this work? How can I be born again? Do I re-enter my mother's womb? And Jesus responds to him. And he's kind of exasperated. And in verse 10, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things." You see, the whole premise of kingdom life is a new birth, right? The whole premise of us being born again is having the seed of God Himself in us, that we become alive. Our spirit comes alive. God is our true Father. You know, we are not adopted as orphans and placed in His family. He has become our true Father. His seed remains in us. You know, we are actually legitimate sons and daughters to Yahweh. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Now, if we try to grasp that with an adult intellect, you know, we're going to say, how can this be? This doesn't make any sense. But see, the little you, the little me says, yay, because we were created for this. We were partakers of the divine nature, and Jesus came to bring us home to the destiny that God planned for you and I before He created the world. You see, I really believe it takes revelation from the Holy Spirit for us to be able to grasp this. And I think, you know, we do our best to, you know, there's a saying that is attributed often to St. Francis of Assisi that says, you know, preach the gospel wherever you go, and wherever necessary, use words. Sometimes I feel that a lot of the kingdom and this revelation of love is just so beyond words. And again, I really believe that with every entry into every newborn that comes into the world, that the Father is giving us a picture into His kingdom, but it's like His kingdom is hidden in plain sight. It's there with every child, that there's this kingdom greatness, this kingdom in complete dependence, this kingdom trust, this kingdom weakness that is so beautiful, and this innocence in these little babies. And it's just like if we're trying to grasp the kingdom through an intellectual mindset and through a theological grid, we're going to miss it because it's just too simple. It's just not intellectually stimulating. My prayer for you and my prayer for me today is that the Father, by His Holy Spirit, would just do a sovereign work in our hearts in a greater measure today, because His mercies are new every morning, that would bring a greater revelation of this truth that He is our Father. And the way that comes is by the outpouring of his own spirit in our hearts. In Romans 8, 15 to 17, Paul writes, he says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, then we are his heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory." You see, my prayer for each and every one of us is that the Holy Spirit that is in us bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. And the only appropriate response to that revelation is a one-word prayer, and that's Abba. You are my Father. You really are my Father. And it doesn't come from the mature son. It comes from the little you that is awakened to your destiny and your purpose, and that God is your Father. And because he is your Father, you don't have to be big, because he is way bigger than anything that you could ever hope for or dream for or imagine. And it sets our heart at rest. We don't have to provide for ourselves. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to be strong for ourselves, but we can just yield to his affection. You see, Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us." You see, it's the very love of God that is that fills us by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit." You see, when the Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts, it's the Father's love that is poured out on our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit is poured in our hearts, what does he do? He says, you really are a little heir to God. You are his heir. You are his beloved little child. And our only response, continual response, is Abba. You are Abba. You are my Father. You really are. I belong to you. I came from you. And you see, I truly believe what that does is it just reconnects us to the little you. See, when you were created in your mother's womb, when the Father, the Bible says in Psalm 139 that he knit us together in our mother's womb. At that moment of conception, the biological egg and the biological sperm, God was there. And he created you. He breathed his life into you and you became a living being. He was there the day you were born. He's numbered every hair on your head. He's written all your days in his special book before one of them came to be. He is your true Father. And Jesus came to solidify and to bring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, that you and I would begin to realize that we don't have to be competent. We don't have to be strong. You know, last week I talked about weakness and how God has chosen the weak things of the world and the poor things and the foolish things to confound the things that are strong and wise and competent. You see, my prayer is that revelation will come to us today in a greater measure today than we have ever experienced before. You see, when we talk about the little you, it's not like we have to go back in time. There is a 5-year-old in you. There is a 3-year-old in you. There is a 45-year-old if you're older than that. You see, your life and my life is like growth rings in a tree. If you cut a tree trunk, you will see growth rings for every year's life. When you turn 5, you didn't abandon the first 4 years of your life. You just added 1 year. And so every life experience that you have had is in you. And oftentimes, you know, when we have ministered to people, when I have said to people, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? Can you be a little girl that needs to be loved? Oftentimes people, you know, there is an emotion that is connected with that. And sometimes people get connected with this wounding and this disappointment of when they were little. And you see, it's that little boy, the little girl that the Father wants to pour his love into. It's because you were born to be loved. You were, you know, when you, the first place that you encountered love was your parents. They were meant to affirm you and encourage you and cause you to be able to grow up in all the destiny that God had. But unfortunately, after the fall, like, you know, hurting people hurt people. There's been a cycle of brokenness from Adam and Eve right until today. And it is only when the Father's love comes that He can bring healing and restoration to our lives. Because God wants to transform us. He wants to restore. The word redeem, when Jesus is our Redeemer, is to buy back. It's to restore what was lost in the fall. That you and I could really know that Almighty God is our true Father. You see, maturity in the world system is independence and self-sufficiency. If you and I were living in the garden today, you know, if there was no sin, maturity would have a different definition than we have today, because we would have everything provided for us. There would be no sickness, no sin. There wouldn't even be any clothes. We would have been completely naked and unashamed, and we wouldn't even have been aware of our need for self-sufficiency. But, you know, we do what we have to do, and, you know, we try to cope in this orphan world system. But I truly believe that what God wants to do and what Jesus came to secure for us was this salvation that is so full that it's a being born again into the kingdom of our God and our Father. The problem is in evangelical Christianity is oftentimes when we talk about that, we think of being born again, but there's so much work in the kingdom. As soon as you're born again in the kingdom, you got to grow up real quick because there's so much work to do. And then we become adults again. We try to, you know, get people to grow up as quickly as possible. Jesus never ever said for us to grow up quickly again. You see, when we're born in the kingdom, we're little. Jesus talked to his disciples and he said, my little children. John the Apostle, when he wrote his letters in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he talked about when he talked to the recipients of his letters, he said, my little children. You see, when the Father sees you, he doesn't see you as this big, competent, independent, self-sufficient person. He sees the little you. And it's the little you that he wants to pour out his love into his heart. And so my question for you is the same question that Jack Winter asked me over 20 years ago. And I'm just going to put on the music right now. And I just want to ask that the Father would speak to you, and that the Father would awaken in you the absolute need to be loved. That could you be a little boy or a little girl that needs to be loved? And I just pray that, Father, right now, that you would help your sons and your daughters remember, Father, that when they were little, it was scary. You know, they weren't in control. They were weak. They were hurt by hurting people, hurting parents. And Father, I just pray now that you would just overwhelm us with a greater revelation of love than we've ever experienced before. That you would just awaken on us the need that each and every one of us have to be loved. That we would not try to fight that we would not try to resist it. We would not try to deny that it exists or bring some separation from the little boy, little girl that's inside of us. Father, I just pray that you would just give us the grace to know that we're loved. And that you would, wherever we have been wounded, wherever as adults we have been trying to compensate for disappointment, Lord, I just pray that your love would come, that you would pour out your love in increasing measure. I pray that your Holy Spirit would awaken in us the revelation from heaven that says that you really are our Father. We really are your children, little children, babes in Christ. Wow. And that the Abba cry would come, Father, and that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with our spirit that we really are your kids. And that the only appropriate response would be to cry, Abba. Abba, you are our Father. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us, Lord, as we would just experience you loving us in a greater measure today, that you would show us the pathway, how it's safe to be little again. Safe to come into a place, Father, where we don't, because you won't abuse us, you won't judge us, you won't hurt us, you won't abandon us, Father. You love us with all your heart, and you promise to be a Father to us in every area of our life. And I just pray that today would be another step in that journey for each and every one of us, that, Father, that we could see that we don't have to be carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, but we can cast every care onto your shoulders because you care for us. So, Father, we just commit this to you, Lord. I just pray for just a Yeah, just joy to come. I pray for simplicity to come. Father, I pray for those who struggle to trust you. Father, would childlike trust be restored so that we could live our life and not be afraid of the future, not be afraid of finances, not be afraid of sickness, but Lord, that we could trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, that we could acknowledge you and just have the confidence and the security knowing that you'll direct our paths. Thank you, Father, that you really are our true Father. And Lord, I just pray that today that you would put form to the formless, that you would put substance to the indescribable, Lord, that we could actually learn to live on planet Earth as sons, little sons and daughters, little heirs to Yahweh. And that, Father, that you would restore childlike creativity, childlike imagination, childlike ability to rest, childlike vulnerability, childlike innocence. Father, that we would know that we don't have to live as orphans or slaves any longer, but we are your heirs. And that Abba cry, Father, would you just reconnect us with that Abba cry that says that we truly are your kids. Thank you, Jesus, for making all of this possible. Thank you for being the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that you have showed us the way. You are the absolute image of the invisible God, and that you have brought us home, that you have shared your inheritance with us. We are your joint heirs, and we're your brothers and sisters, your little brothers and sisters. Yeah, Father, I just pray now that you would just retool our identities. Well, adult cynicism. Yeah. Adult walls that we built around our hearts just because we don't want to get hurt anymore. Father, would your love come and consume those things? Yeah. Then we'd be like calves released from the stall. In Jesus' name. Amen.